contestants dropped off into the wilderness of Vancouver alone to survive with really only 10 items that they've taken with them to outlast all the other contestants. But they're dropped in the wilderness where they can't see each other. They will have zero contact with them through this whole show. If you've ever watched the series Alone, it's a survival-ish type of show where all these 10 contestants are spread out to survive. They're dropped off. They need to be able to create shelter, find food, water to drink, and also don't freeze to death because we're headed into winter, you know, just to make it harder. But the people that sign up for this show are expert survivalists. A lot of them have spent hours learning. A lot of them will even teach their own survivalist classes. But they have learned every way to find edible plants that they can eat, how to track and trap and fish and hunt. And they do all of this. But all of the training, all of the time that they spend preparing themselves to survive the wilderness, to survive the elements, to survive all of this, does not prepare them for the thing that takes many of them out. Many of the contestants end up leaving the game because they're alone. It's the name of the show, right? Like, you think they get the idea that I will be alone, completely alone, no film crew, no nothing, alone. But see, I don't think it's just the alone part that's the problem. It's the problem that the aloneness turns into loneliness. And then all of a sudden that becomes more than maybe what they can bear. There are contestants that I've seen there. There's some of them I think, man, this guy could single-handedly take down a bear and just survive for years out here. I don't know. Like they seemed like they could survive anything. But it's also the same person that has dropped to their knees at the thought of missing their kid's birthday. Think, I don't know that it's worth the prize money. I don't know that it's worth hundreds of thousands of dollars to miss my loved ones anymore. See, they were okay with being alone until the loneliness sets in. We may, I assume none of us have been dropped in the wilderness for weeks to survive on our own. I don't know. If there's anybody in here, I'd love to talk to you afterwards. I doubt that's us out surviving on our own. But if I had to guess, I would say every one of us in here have battled loneliness at some point. At some point in our lives, we have felt far from others, that we feel the pains of being alone. And it may be something that we don't even like to admit. We show up on a Sunday morning and we have a smile on our faces and all the while feel the feelings of loneliness. Because loneliness does not just, you can be lonely while being alone. You can be surrounded by hundreds of people and still feel alone. And maybe you find yourself there this morning. It's strange that these feelings of loneliness can sneak up on us when we least expect it. But I think if you've ever felt these feelings or even currently still feel them, as we dive into Psalm chapter 42 and 43 this morning, they're going to resound with you. We're toward the end of our series, Praying Through the Psalms, where we have found chapters throughout the Bible that will lead us in times of prayer when we're feeling different things. We would say it's a psalm for every season. And it's seasons that might be surprising, that ones that I don't want to even tell other people that I'm feeling. But in seasons of anger or disappointment, or as we're dealing with sin, or if you're weary or grateful or even lonely, it's how do we bring these feelings to God and how do we communicate with Him while we are in those feelings of loneliness or whatever it may be. These psalms help us cry out to God in the state that we find ourselves in. And sometimes it feels like it's inappropriate to feel that way. Like I shouldn't even let God know or let other people know that I'm feeling this way. But yet somehow we need to come with the state of brokenness, tiredness, being mad, whatever it is, we can come to God with it. We don't have to put on a fake face to try to seem like we've got our lives all together, all the while we internally are just falling apart. So through this series, it has stood out to me so much that no matter what I'm feeling, God wants me to come to him transparently. That he wants me to share these things with him. Like somehow I feel like if I'm angry or something, I go, boy, I don't want to let God have it because I don't know if he could handle my anger or something. But man, God can handle your anger. God can be with you while you're upset, while you're dissatisfied, while you're lonely. He can handle it. So he's just asking that we would come to him, to have open and honest conversations with him. Keep coming to God with those feelings, even if it's loneliness and it feels like he is far away. We can continue to come to him and find that our loneliness, in our loneliness, we can still hope in God. So before we dive into chapters 42 and 43, we're going to take just a moment to pray. God, we thank you for your word. We are grateful that we can hold it, study it, that we can learn and grow from it. But God, I'm thankful that even in the hard times, the hard feelings, that you're still ready for us to come to you, that you want to have these conversations. You want to meet us right where we are. So God, today, as we look at these verses, God, would you meet us right where we are with all the feelings and everything that we have? Would you meet us and help us to grow in our love for you? God, we love you and pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you've got your Bibles with you, we're going to be looking at Psalm chapters 42 and 43. They're kind of written as a pair together. 43 is super short, so don't worry. It's not going to take forever to get through two chapters of Psalms. These chapters are kind of meant to go together. They're written by a worship leader in the temple who was taken into exile. And for this psalmist, the temple would have been their place of work, their place of home, their place of community. It would have been everything. All of their life would have been really spent and valuable. All the valuable time would have been there at the temple. But to have all of that taken away, to be cut off from your community, it would be, also feel like you've been cut off from God. That all of a sudden there's this separation between you and God. And then to put it on top of that, the people that took you into exile, not only did they take you into exile, but they mock you and you feel overwhelmed by it. But yet this psalmist continues to chase God, to pray, to have conversations with God, and hold on to hope. Because as much as his circumstances have changed, God never did. And so we're going to learn how to pray in the middle of this season of loneliness. Because even in our loneliness, we can still hope in God. So the first part of this holding on to hope is that we were designed for community. The psalmist's soul is in distress of being taken into exile. And the hurt that is within him, the deepest part of that hurt is this separation from God. He longs to be with God, but also to be with God's people. So listen at the beginning here as he pours out his heart to God through this psalm, Psalm 42. It's a well-known psalm, especially the beginning of it here. You may even have the words of a song, an old hymn going through your mind as we read it. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? This is where he just gets very open and transparent. It says, my tears have been my food day and night. And while they say to me all along, all those that brought him into exile and are taunting him, they say, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in the procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. When you listen to this, there's a deep desire to be with God and to be in his presence. And this psalm is not nice and polished and all put together. I think that's how we always want our prayers to maybe sound. But yet this is very evident that he's in distress. You know, lately I feel like we've been traveling a lot to different activities, school activities, chasing kids around. And often I think our younger kids are like, why am I here again? Another event. And so our way to make it up is like, hey, why don't you go to concessions and get us popcorn? At one of our events, though, this popcorn was well salted. Well salted. And man, it's good. Man, you're eating it, just, you know, taking in whatever activity is and just eating this popcorn. And then the moment hits where you're like, boy, I could use a glass of water right now. But it turns from I could use a glass of water to like, no, I need water now. Like, my lips are on fire and I have to have a drink. That is what this sounds like, this psalmist is saying when they come before God, is like this deep desire, like it's a burning, passionate call out, like, I need you, God. Because I think what this desire, this thing that often feels like it can be missing, is that we were designed for community. We're designed to be united with God, and when we are distant, we can feel this loneliness come in. And it doesn't necessarily mean that when you feel loneliness that you should just surround yourself, get people around you, that it'll cure it all. That's not the case. This is really just a symptom that we're missing this unity with God. And that even here, this psalmist continues in verse 4, remembering that how he would lead the people into the house of God and how they would lift their voices to sing praises to God. We're designed to share community with God and to share community with others. And that's why even the greatest commandment echoes that idea that we are designed for God and for others. When Jesus was asked, what is this greatest commandment? He simply replies in Matthew 22, 37 to 40. He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And on these two commandments depend law and the prophets. See, we're designed for this time to love and be in community with God and with others. We were created for community to be vertical with God and horizontal with people. And when we're feeling the loneliness with God, it's because in this vertical relationship, we have missed this redemptive relationship with God. Or it's not what God had designed it to be. So we might feel loneliness because we were designed for that community with God. And when we're missing the horizontal, meaningful social relationships, we can also feel lonely. And it's easy to think in those moments when I'm missing those relationships around me, what do? I probably reach for my phone, which I left mine in my office, and it's bothering me because it's like, what do? What if somebody's trying to get a hold of me? What if I'm missing something? Like, I would rather leave my wallet somewhere than leave my phone. Like, that's the most important thing. Are you with me on that? No? There's some heads nodding. Yeah, let me take your phone for half a day, and you'll be like, what's happening? Everyone needs something. Like, we desire that relationship. But I think in unhealthy times, when I'm lonely, I grab my phone because I think it's how I'm going to be connected. And I can scroll social media for hours and yet not walk away from that feeling any more connected. I know a lot of what's happening in people's lives, and I feel no more connected. Sometimes makes me more lonely because I don't have true relationship with others. So when we're feeling those relationships, it doesn't mean that we need to just run away and surround ourselves with people or be on social media more. But what it means is that we need to find deep, meaningful relationships that we need around us. That we need to somehow satisfy this relational hunger that we were designed for. And so what that means is we need to like find relationships that we can be open and honest and vulnerable with. That we would open up our lives and, like these psalms, pour out what's going on in your life. You can share that you are lonely, that you're hurting, that you're angry. But then it's also the other way, that you need to be the person that would listen to them, that you would allow them to share with you their hurts, their anger, their brokenness. Because that's the community that we're meant to have. And it's the same with God, is that God wants us to openly share all of our hurts and everything with him. The feelings, the spiritual hungers that we have, those desires, is to be reconciled with God. But we also have to be willing to listen to God. I think too often I can tell God all the things that I have going on, but it's a lot harder for me to slow down and listen. It's hard for me to listen, and I may not hear an audible voice, but I have God's word that I can read in physical format on my phone. I can read it everywhere, but do I read it and listen? Because I am shocked at how many times I read God's word, and somehow those words speak to me in the moment where I'm at exactly for what I need. Like somehow God knew that I was going to need this day, and he speaks to me through his word. And so I can listen to God speak to me through his word each week and every day as I read. So because we're designed for this community, my hope and prayer was that this week that you'd be more aware of the relationships around you, that you would take a step towards somebody to give mutual encouragement with real conversations, not just how's the weather doing, really, how is life? How are you doing? How is your heart? How is your soul doing? Conversations. And maybe take time with God this week to spend time with him in prayer. Be transparent with him, letting him know even your loneliness. And allow God to meet you in those moments. Because I think we can use these moments of loneliness not just to weigh us down, but let that loneliness be an indicator of the relationships that you need, in the same way we thirst for a drink or we hunger for nourishment. Let loneliness be the indicator, the community that you need around you, that you need to be reconciled with God, and you need a good group of people around you that will listen to you open and honestly, and that you listen to as well. So the psalmist moves forward from this longing for community to persevering in faith through despair. He continues from this place of discouragement, but yet he keeps talking with God, and even though the feelings of hope have not yet shown up, he holds on to faith in the middle of despair. So maybe like as we read through this end of the chapter, you feel this tension in the words, because it seems as if there is despair and hope both within these verses. And it's a weird thing, because I feel like it's supposed to be cleaner, neater than this. But yet we just read this tension there, and I think it's okay for us to hold on, to endure and persevere, holding on to our faith even through our despair. So we'll begin in verse 5. It says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me, therefore I remember you. From the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mizar, deep calls to deep at the roars of your waterfalls, and all your breakers and your waves have gone over me. But the day of the Lord commands." The day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with the deadly wounds in my bones, my adversaries taunt me, and why they say to me all day long, where is your God? You can hear the deep despair that the psalmist has. His soul is feeling broken in this turmoil within him. It doesn't push him away from God. But even in the midst of the roaring storms of life, we see that the psalmist is drawing strength from the truth of God's character. Remembering who God is and what he has done, it gives us strength in the middle of the storm to remember that God is not shaken in this, that he remains the same. It reminds us of Jesus walking on water, coming to the disciples that are in a boat being tossed around by the waves and the storm that seems as if life is going to be destroyed. But yet somehow in the middle of all of this turmoil, Jesus comes walking to them on the water. And as terrified as they are that the storm is going to overtake them, Jesus calmly comes, comforts them, and he stops the storm around them and causes it to be still. So I think we can look at the waves, the breakers that are around us and not know what's going to happen. We can be overwhelmed by it, but it's not overpowering for God. It doesn't overcome him. He is still in control and he is still steadfast, just like his love for us. So I think that's where we can feel that tension, because the psalmist calls out to God as his rock, his firm foundation. And as much as that might be true, the tension is still there as he's going, but what are these storms? Why am I still mourning? Why am I being oppressed? Why are my enemies here? Why are they still taunting me? Where is your God? As much as I would love to say that the moment we call out to God, man, he calms the storms, the waves around us, they just go away. But we're left in this tension, left sometimes in this turmoil of this middle ground of going, how do I have all this turmoil around me, but yet my God remains steadfast and sure? Which I hope is the thing that causes us to persevere, to hold on to him as the one thing that is sure. That we would hope in him, knowing that we can cling to his character because he is steadfast. I think this time of year is who knows what's happening with the weather, right? We're heading into winter, but it's also 60 degrees today, so you don't really know. But as winter approaches, I watch the leaves fall. The grass turns brown. The days are getting shorter. There's less sunlight. And I just feel like the heaviness of all those things dying, and I long for the days of green and the sunshine. And it's really, really hard when you get to these winter months when you go, boy, I can feel really lonely and far away. But I think those are the days that you sometimes have to remember. But as much as it is dark and it's brown everywhere, you remember that springtime does come. And even though it still seems cold, it still seems far away, the season of winter will go away. We persevere through it, through the cold months, but we understand that new growth comes, and that the green and the life comes back again. And I think that's what we have to then hold on to, is what are the truths that we hold on to in God's character. We wait for the light while holding on to the truth. So we're going to look at chapter 43. And 43 is very, very short. We're going to take a look then. I left off one verse, if you caught that. I left off the last verse of 42. We're going to add that one here to 43. But really, this psalmist kind of repeats a phrase, which is why I wanted to have that one verse there. But really, it's to help us to preach hope to our soul. That we're supposed to preach it to ourselves. So there are phrases throughout the Bible that often will be repeated. And this repetition is meant to be an exclamation mark. It's meant to really grab your attention. I if you send text messages to people, I love that you can add all the text effects to things, maybe overly, because I want to send it loud so it shakes the text bubble or something, or the echo so it just swarms the entire screen, confetti, all the good fun things. But it's I need to get your attention somehow. This needs to be more than just a text coming through. I want your attention. When something's repeated in the Bible, that's that text message coming through with emphasis. This is repeated three times through these two chapters. That this must be important, that we have to hold fast to this. And so we're going to pick up then at the end of 42 and verse 11, and then all of 43. It says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God. For I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God." Chapter 43. "Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people. From the deceitful and the unjust man, deliver me. For you are the God in whom I take refuge. Why have you rejected me? Why do I go about mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me, and let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God, my exceeding joy, and I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Again, the psalmist does not hold back here from the injustice and the things that are happening around him, but he asks God, would you please intervene? Would you come in and address the injustice that's around me? Would you make things right? And would you even guide me through how I move forward? That God's light and truth would guide him back to the presence of God and toward this restored relationship with God. Saying that this would cause him to come back with praise and to worship my God. You know, as we've been talking through this series, that these prayers are for all seasons. It again shows us that in this season that seems distant and lonely, that prayer would show your perseverance of holding on to God's truth and to walk with him in light and in truth. And I love that we have got this night of prayer that we're going to be having on December 1st. I hope that you're here, because as we've been walking through it and talking about how we should pray to God in all circumstances, we have a moment to do just that, to show up and pour out our heart to God. Together as one. And so I love that we get to do that together. But even in the midst of oppression of the enemy for this psalmist, they reflect and ask for God's light and truth to lead him. Help him to return to God, to not overcome him or overwhelm him, but he has a desire within himself to hope and to praise God in the hard circumstances. Even when those feelings of hope do not come easy or do not come quickly, but knowing the truth. And rather than letting feelings take the wheel and to just lead and guide you, allow the truth of God's word to lead, and we'll let our feelings follow up. The psalmist acknowledges the feelings of loneliness and does this self-evaluation at the beginning of this repeated phrase. It says, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you at turmoil within me? Three times he asks this to himself. What led to this? What is underneath all of this? What is the source of it? To identify those feelings, it's not necessarily bad. But again, it just as an indicator that this redemptive relationship with God needs to be addressed. That we were designed for that relationship and we need to realign our lives with it. But then there's this next phrase that comes from the desire to be with God. To remind yourself, to preach these words to yourself. Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. When it talks about hope, this biblical hope that we talk about is the expectation of whatever God promised he was going to do, he will fulfill. It's not wishful thinking. It's an expectation that we know when he says it, he will do it. So we hold on to hope in this expectation of what God's going to do. And it says that that's going to lead me back to praise God. He will be true to his word, and I am going to be reunited with God, and I will praise him. So even when the feelings don't line up, he urges himself, I love that he's preaching this to himself. He urges himself to trust in God. Not to waver because of circumstances, but to hold on to the hope in God. So as the worship team prepares to come back in this show alone, to outlast everyone, to win everything, you have to endure a lot. You never know how long it's going to be. You don't know when other people have dropped out. You don't know any of it. You just endure. But when they're ready to be done, if they they say, I'm finished with this. I desire to be back with my loved ones. They have one simple thing that they do. They're given a device, a GPS device, that they just push a button and it calls. It calls and they have rescue come and get them as soon as they're ready. It takes them out of the game, but it gives them the very thing that they desire the most. More than prize money, they desire community. And when you're feeling lonely, we can know that God is with you. That we have a simple thing that we can do too. It doesn't have to be something that seems so complicated. We simply can call out to God. We can call out to Him and know that we were designed for this community, with God and with people. And we can draw near to God knowing that He will also draw near to us. To be open and honest with these conversations that we have, even if it means you're in distress. Have this trusted God that we have, and also trusted people around us. And it helps us to persevere in our faith, even though the despair and the things that are going on in our lives may not go away immediately. It gives us something steadfast to hold to. The character of God, that He is steadfast even in the middle of our storms. So remind yourself, even preach to your own soul, that even in your own distress, you can still hope in God, because He is steadfast and immovable. He's not taking you to the wilderness to leave you alone, but He's ready to answer the call. As soon as you call to Him, He's ready to answer. Let's pray. God, we thank You for the love that You have shown us, and that You desire this relationship with us. God, I ask that as many of us may have seasons of loneliness, God, help us not to just run away, to chase it, to cover it up with other things. But God, would You help us to lean into this relationship with You, that we would seek You, and we know that we will find You. God, would You put people around us that would give us encouragement in our lonely seasons? But God, again, I'm grateful that all we have to do is call out to You and You'll answer. So God, help us to take that first step today to call out to You. We love You and pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with us as we sing?